Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
All right, welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Producer Joseph Armacost, how are you today?
I'm doing well. We have no time to waste, Dan. Let's get right to it.
Now, I know I've got seven stories today, which may be a record, which means I'll probably get to four of them. But the first one I want to get to is great. I'll knock this out in a second, I am getting really, I'm tired of being tired of limousine liberals.
Limousine
liberal crowd running for president is extraordinary. These are all anti-capitalist socialists who are all wealthy Scrooge McDuck types, swimming around in gold bullion. I can't have DuckTales. I used to... when I was a kid. All of them, as they rant and rave against capitalism, it's so phony. So I want to start with a Washington Examiner piece. I'll get to that in a minute. Really good. Don't go anywhere.
Right,
and
buddy.
I've got some updates, including some great pieces by Victor Davis Hanson and others, and a CNN journalist now calling for speech suppression, which is pretty, I'd say pretty amazing, but it's not. It's CNN. I've come to expect the worst. All right. Right. Today's show brought to you by buddies at Freedom Project Academy. Hey, this year, nearly $70 billion of taxpayer money will be spent on public education, yet a new report finds that just 2 in 5 American students are ready to attend college. Gosh, that's unbelievable. Many of you have been searching for a school with traditional values that helps students develop strong foundations in math, science, English, and American history. This kind of education designed to teach students how to think, not what to think. This is the right kind of education out there. Well, your search is over. Freedom Project Academy, I'm happy to partner with them, is an accredited online school built on Judeo-Christian values and classical curriculum for students from kindergarten through high school. We're talking about a complete, interactive, educational experience where students attend live classes with other students from across the country. Freedom Project Academy provides live and recorded lessons, homework, tests, tutoring, grades, and transcripts. Can't recommend them highly enough. Go to freedomforschool.com and request your free information packet today. Hurry up. Enrollment fills up quick here. That's freedomforschool.com, freedomforschool.com. And don't forget to subscribe to their weekly podcast, The Dr. Duke Show, available on iTunes and more. Take back control of your kids' education at freedomforschool.com, freedomforschool.com, freedomforschool.com. And thank you to everyone after the last time we did a read for the Freedom Project Academy who inquired and asked for their free information packet. They were very grateful and they're happy that you're interested. Freedomforschool.com, really great sponsor. Take back control of your kids' education. Okay. Let's go. Ding, 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 ding. Are you ready? We're not even allowed to say ready, but that's that other guy patented that, Bruce Buffer's brother. So Bruce Buffer's now the UFC guy. So limousine libs, Washington Examiner story about the book deals and the wealthy libs running for president. So I only bring this up not to make fun or to poke fun, because I am a free marketeer. I believe in economic freedom and liberty, and I believe people should be privy to the fruits of their own labor. They should be able to work hard, spend that money on themselves and their family. So Washington Examiner story today by Emily Larson. Businesses, book deals, 2020 Democrats to deliver socialism on their own silver platter.
How about that?
This will be
that?
In the show notes today. How about that at Bongino.com? If you go to the podcast link in the menu, these articles will be associated with it. Subscribe to my email list, and I'll send you these articles every day. It's a good one. Let's go through the list of wealthy Democrats. Number one, Beto, otherwise known as Beto, as Tucker Carlson hilariously calls him. Beto, based on his FEC filings, has an estimated worth, Joe, of, what, 90K? 100K?
What?
900K? Beto is worth a staggering $9 million.
Oh.
Nice job for Beto.
Oh.
Hey, listen, good job, Beto.
Oh.
I love it. I appreciate the accumulation of economic liberty and its byproduct, wealth and prosperity. Good for you. I'm just asking that you stop being such a phony with your fake socialism garbage where you want redistribution of wealth except for yours. Beto, or Sean calls him Bozo. What a fraud. Be proud you're a conservative or a libertarian out there and that you don't have to be concerned about any accusations of hypocrisy. You support economic liberty and freedom and hard work and the results of it because you support it for you and other people. Even Beto. Beto has that problem, though, because he's a fraud.
Yep.
He's now, like I told you, he's a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. He's Gozer from Ghostbusters. He becomes whatever you think he is. Don't think, Ray. Don't think, Ray. I can't help it. I thought of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. That's Pateau. He becomes whatever you want. He ran as a moderate in Texas. Now he's a big socialist liberal in the mold of AOC. But he's a fraud. Apparently worth a cool $9 million. Elizabeth Warren, big socialist now, redistributor of the fruits of your labor. Elizabeth Warren has assets in the neighborhood of what? 40K, 50K, 200K? No, 4 to 11 million for Pocahontas. 4 to 11 mil, Joe. That's pretty nice. Very nice. Good for you, Elizabeth Warren. I don't know how much of that you earned in book deals or whatever it may be, but the Washington Examiner piece lays it out pretty thoroughly. Nice job, Elizabeth Warren. Cory Booker, who of the people I'm reading about is the poorest of them. And believe me, by poorest, I'm using that term relatively loosely. And by poorest, I mean rich by anyone else's standards. Cory Booker has assets in the neighborhood of 600K to 1.3 million. Again, another limousine liberal fraud. Fake, phony hypocrites that look at themselves in the mirror every morning. They want to redistribute everyone else's wealth, but apparently not their own. By the way, Cory, Pateau, and Pocahontas, you are free anytime you wish to give your assets and your wealth to other people according to your own modus operandi, socialism, what you recommend. The collective accumulation of wealth. Go right ahead. Nobody's stopping you. Donate the stuff to charity. Donate it to the government. Do whatever you want. But just stand for something. We would respect you more. I will do a segment on this show. Seriously, where I will celebrate at least your intellectual honesty.
All right.
It is stupid. It would be the dumbest thing ever to give that money to the government because they'll flush it down a toilet. But I will celebrate your intellectual honesty. There is my challenge. Let's call it, Joe. The Cory Pateau Pocahontas Challenge. I haven't even gotten to Sam Bernie Sanders yet. No. Bernie's a unique case in and of himself because he is the proudest socialist of them all and the biggest hypocrite. That's the challenge. Donate half of this. So Pateau, which, Joe, we're going to do some simple math. Pateau's worth $9 million. I got my pen out. Right. $9 million. $4.5 million. So Pateau, I will do a show celebrating you, your intellectual honesty, if you make this $5 million donation to the government. Okay.
All right.
Elizabeth Warren, you have 4 to 11 million in assets. Listen, let's go on the low end to be fair to Pocahontas, right? Say yes, she has 4 million in assets. Let's divide it by two. So 2 million in assets. If Elizabeth Warren will give that over to the G, we will celebrate your intellectual honesty too. Stupid, but intellectually at least honest, right? Cory Booker, let's go on the low end again. 600K in assets. We'll expect a $300,000 donation to the government program of your choice, Cory. We're all waiting. Now, there's a couple more out there. You have John Delaney, who I ran against, who's worth an estimated $96 million. John Hinkinglooper worth millions. I like Delaney. I ran against him. He is not the craziest of the Democrats. He's actually the most rational of all the Democrats running, which probably means, unfortunately for him, he has no chance. But let me just tell you this before we get to Bernie, who's a special case in the fraud Olympics here. He's always the gold medal winner. The high jump fraud Olympics, Bernie is always the gold medal winner. I mean this when I say this. Yeah. I vehemently and vigorously, Joe's heard the story 1,000 times, so when I bring it up, he's going to be like, again with this guy? But I disagree with socialism because it's deadly and it doesn't work. But again, I intellectually can respect people who live by their own credo. And I'll never forget this story when I was in the police academy back in 1995. And it was hot in New York. I mean, it was like, New York is hot. It's like 90 degrees. It's like the urban jungle where that black, you know what I'm saying? That black street just reflects the heat in your face. It's hot. I mean, I live in Florida and I'm telling you, having lived in Florida and New York, New York summers are worse. I mean it. They're really, really bad. I remember being in that police academy uniform, which was awful. It had the gray shirts on, not the blue shirts. So everybody knew you were a rookie. They'd be like, hey, rookie, because they knew you couldn't even arrest them. I mean, technically you could, but you know you wouldn't do it. You know, they knew you weren't carrying a firearm. It was like putting like a bullseye on your back. Rookie, look at you. Everybody would laugh at you with that cadet hat on. But one day I'm sitting there getting ready to get on a train, and I see that actor, Matthew Modine. He was in that movie Outbreak, and he was the wrestler in that movie, you know, with that guy shoot and stuff like that. And, you know, he's relatively famous. And apparently his thing is riding around New York on a bicycle, even in 90 degrees. And I thought, Even back then, I was politically active. I thought, okay, at least I can respect that. At least he's not a hypocrite. Like, the guy's a big environmentalist. He does his thing. Mm-hmm. Great. Good for you. That is not the case with these frauds, including a colonel in the fraud army, maybe a lieutenant general, Bernie Sanders.
I declare.
This guy is incredible. So in the Washington Examiner piece, they lay out the fact that Bernie Sanders has three homes. I've said this before, so I don't want to beat this thing to death. You don't need three homes. I don't care that you have three homes. I want to buy another one. I'm trying to buy one right now. I would love to get, but I am a free marketeer. And I'll be candid with you. You don't need three. Now, they want to do something well. It's not going to be like some luxury thing. It's going to be different. It's more of a business decision and some, you know, I'll explain later on what I do. But Bernie doesn't need three homes. You can only live in one. A warm caboose can only fit in a chair in one home at a time, not three. One, not three, only one. Bernie doesn't need, but Bernie tells you what you need all the time because he's a fraud. Now, the kicker and the new thing I found out about this, according to the Washington Examiner piece by the woman who wrote it, Emily, thank you, Paula. I think Paula, sorry, I was struggling there with the name. Emily Larson, forgive me, Emily. I forgot your name there for a minute. It's a terrific piece, by the way, so hat tip to you. Bernie Sanders bought his third home, a lake house in Vermont, which is not a nice show. Wouldn't we all like a lake house?
Oh, sure.
For $575,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. And Joe, Uncle Bernie paid in cash. Who the hell pays for a house in cash?
Ooh.
Who pays in cash? Listen. I'm not saying Bernie's. There are two people who pay for homes in cash.
Yes.
Criminals and really rich people. That's it.
True.
I'm not suggesting
that's
Bernie's
true.
A criminal at all. I don't like Bernie, but I'm not alleging any dumb. But that's, is it not true?
It's true.
They're criminals and super rich, which means by default, if Bernie's not a criminal, then Bernie is a really super rich dude. Who pays for a house in cash? Who did he show up with, like a briefcase? You know, nobody carries briefcases. Nobody carries satchels or man purses now, or merces, whatever they call them. You know, but who? Nobody carries the old school handle briefcase anymore. Imagine Bernie shows up. He slides it across. Hey, who has $575,000 in cash? Listen, we do really well here. I don't have $575,000 in cash. I can't buy a lake house in Burlington for $575,000 in cash. But Bernie can.
Yeah.
Bernie is open. I can only imagine his deal. Joe, they're sitting in a restaurant, right? Like spy games, right? They're sitting there in the restaurant. Bernie's got his real estate guy and the banker, and they're getting ready to do the deal. And Bernie leans down, right? Just like this, folks. He slides the briefcase with the 575K right across the table. Of course, the visual's available for free at youtube.com/Bongino if you want to watch the show as well as listen. Who buys a house in cash? Rich people do. Bernie's the one percenter he keeps railing against. This guy is an apocalyptic fraud. Now, Joe.
Yes?
Bernie's response to this.
Yes?
Will likely be that if he didn't buy the house in cash, that this would happen.
People will die.
Play it again, Joe.
People will die.
This is Bernie's response to everything. I asked Joe yesterday to bring that up again because I saw Bernie on a weekend show again insisting that if the Obamacare bill is not and if we don't go to Medicare for all, that people will die. This is Bernie's line for people will die. People are going to. We had a people will die montage at one point. This Bernie loves that line. People will die. Bernie, I promise you, you will not die. If you don't pay for the home in cash, and you will not die if you don't have three homes, you will be just fine.
People will
donate one of those homes to charity. Be a man, Bernie. Step up. Step up, Bern.
Thousands of people die every year. You will die.
Biggest frauds ever. I wake up every day. I mean it. And thank the Lord. He blessed me with the powers of reason to not be a phony, fake, hypocrite liberal. Gosh, I'm so tired of these limousine libs. It's pathetic.
Some may freeze to death.
All right. Story number two for the day. This is just incredible. The CNN has gone so off the deep end. Christiane Amanpour, or I, you know, if you want to say her name and sound sophisticated, Christiane Amanpour. If you want to sound really sophisticated, you always go to Christiane at CNN because she believes she's the smartest person in the room always. She was interviewing Jim Comey. And I've got to tell you, I've seen some really dumb stuff on CNN. I mean, epically stupid. I mean, just tune in to George Costanza's show on the weekend on CNN, Unreliable Sources, and you can see stupidity and listen to it every day. But this thing takes the cake for one of the dumbest lines I ever in my life have heard from someone who pretends to be a respected journalist. Play this cut of Christian Amanpour interviewing disgraced former FBI director Jim Comey about the lock her up chant during the 2016 election cycle.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To investigate perhaps you, perhaps others. Do you fear that? Do you think that's coming down the pike?
I don't fear it personally. I fear it as a citizen, right? Investigate what? Investigate that investigations were conducted, and what would be the crime you'd be investigating? So it's a terrible cycle to start. He's already started it with calling for the locking up of his political opponents, including people like me. And so it would just be more of that dangerous step. And I would hope, although they continue to disappoint me, the Republicans would finally stand up and say, we don't do that kind of thing. But me personally, ask me questions. Go ahead. I'd like to answer them in the daylight if I could.
I've got one question. You just said lock her up, or lock me up. Of course, lock her up was a feature of the 2016 Trump campaign. Do you, in retrospect, wish that people like yourself, the head of the FBI, I mean, the people in charge of law and order, had shut down that language, that it was dangerous potentially, that it could have created violence, that it's kind of hate speech? Should that have been allowed?
That's not a role for government to play. The beauty of this country is people can say what they want, even if it's misleading and it's demagoguery. The people who should have shut it down were Republicans who understand the rule of law and the values that they claim to stand for. Shame on them, but it wasn't a role for government to play.
James Comey, former FBI director, thank you very much for joining me today.
Great to be with you.
Thank you.
All right. What the? Dude. What just happened? What? Just happened. This is a journalist. Listen, the dreaded air quotes. If there was ever a time for the dreaded air quotes, here it is. Journalist Christian Amanpour asking a former FBI director in a rare moment of lucid thought from the corrupt Jim Comey, right? A rare moment where he says something that makes sense. And I mean rare because he said almost nothing that's made sense over the last 3 years. Comey says, Well, shouldn't you have classified that as hate speech and shut that down, the lock her up chance? Comey's got to be looking around, Joe, like, you know, I'm not that bright, but this is possibly the dumbest thing I've heard. She goes, there's no role for government? You what? Is this lady serious? So let me get this straight. She's supposed to advocate for freedom of the press and civil liberties and all that stuff, and she wants political speech at a rally classified as hate speech? Can you imagine, Joe? Yeah. Christian Amanpour, everybody walking out of Trump rally. Hands behind your back, folks. Hands behind your back. Locking everybody. Joe, they wouldn't even use the metal handcuffs. They'd have to use the zip ties when I was with the NYPD, if we had a lot of arrests, like on those prostitution John missions, you'd arrest like 20, 30 people. You'd bring the paddy wagon. Mm-hmm. Bring the paddy wagons in. Get the zip ties. People walking out in zip ties. It reminds me of that movie, Pink Floyd, The Wall. Oh. Remember Pink Floyd, The Wall? There was a movie. Bob Geldof was in it at the end at the concert. They just start arresting everybody at the concert. Yeah. I can see that at the Trump rally. They start just pulling people out like Saddam Hussein style. What happened? You said lock her up, sir. That's hate speech. What the hell is going on here? The country's collapsing. We have press people now who they don't believe in freedom of the press anymore. They believe, Joe, I had to underline this, freedom of the libs. That's their new thing. There's no freedom of the press. Freedom of the libs. If you are not a lib and you don't say liberal things and prostrate yourself in front of liberal ideology, you are to be locked up for taking an opposing political position.
Thousands of them will die.
Thousands will die. Thousands will die if they don't do it. This is incredible. This is supposed to be a respected journalist. Now, I played that clip in total because there were two parts to it.
Yeah.
The first, it actually went in reverse, but we had to play that. The first part was interesting too, because she asked Jim Comey, Christian Amanpour, if he's concerned at all about an investigation into his behavior. We have a piece up at Bongino.com about this today as well. And the answer, ladies and gentlemen, is yes. Comey is terrified. Comey's got a lot of liability here, folks. I'm going to segue here from the stupidity of that question, the journalism, you know, the locker up stuff, to the Jim Comey problem, let's call it. Comey's got issues, and Comey's worried right now. And despite the brave face or pseudo brave face Comey's putting on, he is in a world of trouble. Now, I want to relate this to a piece by Victor Davis Hanson, which we'll put up in a second, that is staggeringly good. Is in my show notes today, again, up at the website. And if you subscribe to my email, it's called The Tables Turn in the Russian Collusion Hunt. I need you to read this piece because it's so good. I'm going to tie that into this Comey story in a second. Let's get this quick read and then we'll get to it. Today's show also brought to you by our buddies at Brickhouse Nutrition. They make the finest nutrition supplements out there. I love this company. They've been with me from the beginning. I work out a lot, vigorously, every day. I love it. I enjoy it. I wouldn't be able to do it without their products. I want to tell you about Field of Greens today. Field of Greens is a fruit and vegetable powder, but it's real food. That's the difference. There are a ton, I'm not going to smoke you up, a ton of these fruit and vegetable pills out there, these Kool-Aid tasting powders. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the majority of them is their extract. It's not real food. Field of Greens takes the freshest, ripest, healthiest fruits and vegetables, grounds them up into a fine powder. They take the water out. The water is most of fruits and vegetables anyway. And you get the healthiest parts of the fruits and vegetables in one scoop. I take two or three scoops a day. You can mix it in juice, your protein shake, and water. Sometimes I mix it in green tea. It tastes delicious. It has a berry tinge to it. Ladies and gentlemen, fruits and vegetables are the key to your long-term health, cognitive health, immune system health. Everybody knows that. Every credible medical professional will tell you, eat your fruits and vegetables. This is your fruit and vegetable insurance. Go try it out. Go to brickhousenutrition.com/Dan. That's brickhousenutrition.com/Dan. Do your body a favor. Pick up a jar of Field of Greens today. You will love it. The reviews are spectacular on this product. I am happy to support them. Go to brickhousenutrition.com/Dan. Pick up a jar of Field of Greens today. You will not regret it. Send us your reviews. I send them on to the company president. He loves them. Check it out. brickhousenutrition.com/Dan. Field of Greens. All right. Back to the Comey question. What is Jim Comey worried about? Why is he freaking out? Why all these ridiculous, pseudo brave outbursts on CNN? I'm not afraid of anything. Bring it on. I'd rather testify in the daylight. Of course you would, because you want to make a public spectacle with the hope that you'll switch liberal political allegiances to your side, which will push the press to defend you. That's the only reason he wants to do that. I want that point to make sense to you. Jim Comey only wants to testify in public and not behind closed doors because he wants to bash the president in front of the cameras with the hope that the media will defend him, which will create political pressure to leave him alone because he's worried about a couple of particular things. Number one.
Got it.
I don't want to beat this dead horse, but Jim Comey's worried about the Woods procedure. We've talked about it 1,000 times. Just quickly, they walked in the FISA court with fake information. Everybody knows it's fake. The dossier, they know that's fake. They know it's fake because the Mueller probe concluded it was fake. That was the only allegation of collusion was in the dossier. Mueller said no collusion. Therefore, dossier is fake. The Woods procedure says that before you walk into the FISA court, you have to sign off that the information is true. Comey, in fact, was the FBI director when that Woods procedure was in place, meaning they signed off on information that was false. Problem number two for Jim Comey. A series of leaks at the FBI, which both Andy McCabe and Jim Baker, two of his lieutenants, his top lieutenants, his deputy director and his legal counsel, are under investigation for right now, criminal leaks of classified information to the media. Jim Comey was their boss. Did he authorize those leaks? We'll see. Finally, Victor Davis Hanson has a tremendous piece we put up before. It's in American Greatness today. It is definitely worth your time. The gist of the piece, ladies and gentlemen, which I want to double down on, is that Jim Comey has testified upwards of 245 times in front of Congress and multiple times has insinuated, intimated, or directly said things that are not true. One of them, which he said in Congress, which is going to be devastating to him, is that they closed the Hillary Clinton email investigation after they interviewed her. His own notes now dictate the opposite. This is in the VDH piece, Victor Davis Hanson, which is worth your time. Jim Comey is in a world of trouble, ladies and gentlemen. Now, in the Victor Davis Hanson piece, because I've covered this extensively this week, I'm not going to go through each one of them, but he goes through how every one of the people involved in this are in a world of trouble. Jim Clapper, Susan Rice, Samantha Power, John Brennan, Jim Comey, Andy McCabe, they're all in a world of trouble. They have either said things that have been proven categorically false. They have signed off on maskings, which their name, where names are attached to, which now they're claiming they didn't sign off on. They are all in a world of trouble. I've covered that ad nauseum. The point I want to make here before I move on to my next story here is there should be no quarter. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a brewing movement in the Republican Party amongst the, let's call them the moderate class. I'm being generous by that description, by the way, to just let this go and focus on the economy for reelection. No, that is a bad idea. That is a horrible idea. There will be no quarter. There will be no mercy. The judicial system will be used legally, unlike the Democrats. I'm not advocating extra judicial or extra legislative or extra constitutional powers to anyone. But if you lied to an FBI agent, that is fair game. If you lied under oath, that is fair game. If you leak classified information, that is fair game. There will be no mercy. If any of you out there are listening, in Congress, your staffers, listen, I am one of the advantages of this show, I think, in contrast to other shows, I've run before. I've run for office. We didn't win, but we were out there. I've run in a couple states. I have a pretty good flavor for what the political environment is, and I'm still an activist at heart. I still keep contact with many people in the activist community. I go out and actually talk to people in the real world. And candidly, I'm not famous enough that I live in a bubble, which is great. I've got enough notoriety that we make a nice living and I love my show and our influence, but I'm not Sean Hannity. I can actually go out in public and talk to people, you know, without getting mobbed by 20 million people at a time. I see what people are talking about. Folks, they are furious about this. Furious. It is issue number one amongst the conservative base that is going to go out and volunteer and vote for you in the 2020 election. You must, you absolutely must, the Trump administration, members of Congress and the Department of Justice, pursue justice to the end. Nobody will be given any mercy on this. There will be no let's move along. There will be no pardoning of Nixon. None of it. Everyone who is involved in this must go down legally, the right way. But there will be no, you listen, I'm just going to warn one last time and I'm going to move on. I'm telling you, I have my finger on the pulse of this like no other issue. Paula and I put our personal email out there, info@bongino.com, because we like reading your emails. Because one, we like feedback on the show, it makes it better. But two, we know exactly what you're thinking. How? Because you tell us every day in hundreds of emails we read. People will be furious. People will die. They won't die. People. Do you have that guy? Play Bernie again, Joe.
People will die.
People will be furious. Won't die. But they will be furious if you do not pursue this. If Comey lied, yeah, he's going down. If McCabe lied, if Rosenstein lied, all of them, they will suffer the same legal fate that you imposed immorally and unethically upon Mike Flynn and others. Do not make the mistake of underestimating the anger in the conservative base about how justice was abused when it came to Republicans and Trump. And now everybody seems to be getting a pass on the Democrat side. There's also, I saw an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal the other day saying, you know, we shouldn't really push for prosecution of the Clinton team. We should let it go. With all due respect, my friend Alan Dershowitz, a nice guy who I talk to in green rooms all the time. Brilliant legal analyst. He wants to let it go, too. We shouldn't criminalize politics. No, we're not criminalizing politics, Joe. We're criminalizing criminality.
Yeah.
Mrs. Clinton broke the law. Nobody's above the law. They all need to be prosecuted. Do not underestimate the base here. These are people who work for a living. These are people building houses, mopping floors, saving lives in hospitals, out there in patrol cars, putting out fires as firemen, ripping out plumbing systems as plumbers, tin knockers, steel workers, carpenters, steam fitters. These are people who work for a living. They feel like the justice system has crapped all over them, that the country doesn't represent them anymore. While a bow tie wearing, foie gras eating class of elitist limousine liberal snobs sit there and trounce all over us all the time and get away with everything. The constitutional republic matters because of fidelity to a constitution we believe applies to all of us. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody believes that anymore. We'll start believing it when the elites, the foie gras snobs, the sushi eaters at lunchtime. I love sushi, so I should remember. The foie gras eaters at lunchtime, when they start getting the flexi cuffs too and the paddy wagons. Like you imposed upon Manafort and everybody else. Then we'll maybe believe that fidelity to the law matters. Because it's not the law if it's entirely discretionary and absolves political elites of any responsibility to obey the law at all. It's a disgrace. All right. I just want to cover this story quickly. Chuck Ross has another phenomenal story up at the Daily Caller about George Soros. This guy's name just keeps creeping up everywhere. And as I told you last week, reports in the show notes today, please check it out again. Chuck Ross at the Daily Caller. Soros' name just keeps popping up all over the place. Now, as I explained to you in a show last week, you know you're over the target with liberals. Always, every time. This is the barometer. Lick your finger, put it up to the wind. The wind is blowing when to hear that. You're a racist, yeah, you're a xenophobe, you're a misogynist, you're an anti-Semite, you're an Islamophobe, a transphobe, a homophobe. We used to call them the istophobic phobophobes. That the istophobic phobophobe line, that comes out whenever you're over the target with the Democrats every single time.
Yep.
Now, as the Soros stories have started to break, and I'll get to the details of this in a second, I've noticed an increase in traffic by the lunatic stalkers at Media Matters. Anytime you mention Soros, say, you must be an anti-Semite because he happens to be Jewish. These stories have absolutely nothing to do with George Soros' religion at all. Matter of fact, I only found out George Soros was Jewish because of these nonsensical articles by Media Matters. These are fact-based stories about Soros money being filtered to organizations that are running anti-Trump research that was used in a dossier to, I believe, illegally spy on innocent American citizens. Headline of the piece, firms tied to Fusion GPS, Christopher Steele, were paid $3.8 million by Soros-backed group. Here are a couple of takeaways from this piece, which are just staggering. Soros, let me just lay out why it's a problem first. Joe, it's not breaking news that George Soros funds liberal groups that want to attack Republicans, okay? That's not the news here.
Right.
The news here is that these Soros-backed groups, the Democracy Integrity Project and others, that these groups are already admitting, Dan Jones, who runs one of these groups, former Dianne Feinstein staffer, they're admitting that their sole purpose, Joe, is to give information to the FBI and to feed stories to the media. In other words, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this? You're probably putting two and two together why this is an issue. You now have a liberal mega donor who is running basically the editorial and news pages of mass media outlets. Read the piece. They talk about how Dan Jones fed a piece to Reuters. So George Soros is running the news organizations that are supposed to be giving us the facts, not opinion. And their groups are feeding information to the FBI. So now, can conservative groups do that? Do we have that avenue? So conservative groups worth millions of dollars get an instant liaison in the FBI to go prosecute liberals? Oh, the story that would be if that was happening. Folks, that's why this is a problem. Listen to me, the takeaways. Our media and law enforcement apparatus in the country is being weaponized by liberal mega donors. No, but let's focus on the Koch brothers. You know, the liberals, they can't stand the Koch brothers that they give to libertarian causes. But yet the fact that George Soros' money is managing to be filtered down to groups weaponizing law enforcement and the media against Republicans, nobody seems to care about that. Let's go to takeaway number one from the piece. Here you go. This nonprofit group, partially funded by Soros, is from this Chuck Ross piece, paid firms tied to Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele more than $3.8 million in 2017, Joe, to provide research and analysis to, dreaded air quotes again, government entities. Now, why is this a big deal? Because Hillary Clinton's campaign, through Perkins Coie, only paid them $1 million. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Soros' group that he was funding provided three times the funding to investigate Trump and feed the information to government entities, than Hillary Clinton did herself. You see where this is a problem? Now, let me be clear, crystal clear. There is nothing illegal or even unusual about liberal people like Soros donating money to liberal causes that attack conservatives. Conservative groups do it too. However, folks, again, keep the lead in mind. There is something very unusual about providing three times the funding to investigate Trump and feed the information to government entities.
Mm-hmm.
Government works for the people, allegedly, not for George Soros' money group. Takeaway number two. This group, the Democracy Integrity Project, run by Dan Jones, former Senator Dianne Feinstein staffer, liberal Democrat Feinstein. Jones is also working with Adam Waldman. Adam Waldman, who's also working with Christopher Steele. We have a piece up on the screen. You can read yourself a snippet on the youtube.com/Bongino. But the takeaway here is, so you have this former Democrat staffer working with the dossier author, providing information to the media and government entities, who's also working with this guy Waldman, this lawyer, who, oh, by the way, Joe, also is working with Oleg Deripaska, a Russian oligarch, tied at the hip to Vladimir Putin. I thought colluding with Russians was bad.
Yeah.
Not when it involves Democrats, Soros money, and information being fed to government entities. I can't say that enough.
Okay, cool.
It's all cool. See, Joe says, all cool. Joe's like, yeah, it's Democrats. It's all good. Yeah. Joe's like, what are we worried about? What's the point of this? Of course it's allowed. Democrats colluding with Russians and Russian-connected people. It's all good. Thank you, Joe. You said that. That was one of the best lines you ever had. You're like, okay, all good. Very good. Well done there, Joe. Final takeaway from the piece before I move on. So, as we discussed during yesterday's show, the deep connections to the Atlantic Council. The Atlantic Council and Burisma, which hired Joe Biden's kid. The Atlantic Council and Evelyn Farkas, who blocked me on Twitter. That's hysterical.
Oh, really?
She works. She's the lady who basically, she blocked me on Twitter. How funny is that? The Atlantic Council and donor Victor Pinchuk, who was a big Clinton Foundation donor. How the Atlantic Council people on the Atlantic Council board were involved with the analyzing of the hack. The Atlantic Council's knee deep in all of this. It's basically this group of a lot of far lefties and rhino Republicans that I believe was intimately involved and knee deep in a lot of the goings on during this whole scandal. This is hysterical. From the Chuck Ross piece, the Democracy Integrity Project's links, this is this group funded by Soros, to Istok Associates had not been previously reported. The company's founder is Neil Barnett, a former journalist who has recently investigated possible Russian influence in the Brexit campaign. This is killer, Joe. Barnett co-authored a report released on October 17, 2018 for the Atlantic Council, a Washington, D.C. think tank which focused on this British businessman. Barnett also suggested in that report, Joe, for the Atlantic Council, that the Trump campaign received millions of dollars in illicit donations, possibly from foreign adversaries. Barnett's argument, by the way, is ridiculous. It's so stupid that these small donations were coming from foreigners. Folks, again, the swamp runs deep. You can listen to yesterday's show for a full recounting of the Atlantic Council's role in this. But don't you find it odd? Soros' money goes to the Democracy Integrity Project. It then gets shuttled over to this Istok Associates, where this guy that used to work at the Atlantic Council, which is knee deep in a lot of this, produces a report suggesting Trump is colluding with the Russians to small donors. It's just utterly absurd that people keep falling for the stupid. The stupid is deep and wide in this case. All right, our last sponsor, a great company, just got off this thing. Feel terrific because I love it. You get kind of a teeter high from this thing. Teeter. If you're not using Teeter, you're making a big mistake, especially if you have horrendous osteoarthritis like I do and back pain. I can't say enough about Teeter. It's a great product. It is an inversion table, but it is the finest inversion table out there. It is the premier name in inversion tables. I love my Teeter. With a Teeter inversion table, you use gravity and your own body weight to decompress your spine and relieve pressure on your discs and surrounding nerves. Think about it. You're crushing those things all day. Decompressing on a Teeter inversion table for just a few minutes a day is a great addition to anyone's daily routine to maintain a healthy spine and active lifestyle without the pain. If you have back pain, and even if you don't have back pain, you've been lucky enough to avoid it, try the Teeter. It'll help you avoid back pain later. I feel like a new man when I get off it. I absolutely love it. I use it twice a day before the show. Clears out my head too. Something about being upside down, clearing my head out. I love it. Get like a teeter high off it. Some products I talk about I use regularly, some I don't, but this I use twice a day. I like to use it after my workout too when I'm nice and loose. Over 3 million people have put their trust in Teeter. They're the best known name in inversion tables since 1981. For a limited time, you can get Teeter's brand new 2019 upgraded model of the inversion table, the Teeter Fit Spine with bonus accessories, Stretch Max handles, and the Easy Reach ankle system, plus a free inversion program mat with 24 illustrated stretches and exercises. They'll show you exactly what to do. Teeter inversion tables have thousands of reviews on Amazon, rated at 4.6 stars. And with this deal, you'll get $150 off when you go to teeter.com/Dan. You'll also get free shipping, free returns, and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's absolutely no risk for you to try it out. Remember, you can only get the new 2019 Teeter Fit Spine Inversion Table plus a free inversion program mat by going to teeter.com/Dan. That's teeter.com/Dan. teeter.com/Dan. We love Teeter. It's a really terrific product. Can't recommend it enough. Okay, let's see. Moving on. Oh, Lunch Bucket Joe strikes again.
Oh!
Listen, folks, I addressed the Biden-Ukraine stuff yesterday at length. Please watch that show. And Joe Biden, let me be clear, that's where I think his real trouble is. Yesterday's show was an exhaustive review of Joe Biden's extremely suspicious ties to Ukraine, foreign collusion there, and allegations that he pressured a prosecutor to dump an investigation that may have involved a company related to his son. I didn't cover yesterday, intentionally, the creepy Uncle Joe stuff because, you know, it's tough to add anything to it. It's just so weird. But being that I've been covering it on Fox lately and I did an appearance on Hannity last night, I got a lot of positive feedback on. I wanted to quickly address touchy-feely close talker Joe and why this is going to be an image problem. I don't think it's catastrophic if he runs for president because he's a Democrat and they get away with whatever they want. If it was Republican, he'd be over with. I think it's the Ukraine stuff. But let me just address it. There's an article in the Washington Examiner up at the show notes. Say two more women accuse creepy Joe. The headline's two more women accuse Joe Biden of inappropriate physical interactions by Caitlin Carell. Interesting piece. Here's a couple of takeaways from this. Here's why it's going to be a problem. Folks, liberals ushered in a new series of rules. Liberals, not conservatives. Conservatives, I said this last night on Hannity. I said it the night before on Laura Ingraham. I'll be on Lou Dobbs tonight. 7 p.m. on Fox Business. Those are always great hits, by the way. Me and Lou usually just shred. So hey, let's go. You may want to watch that at 7 o'clock on Fox Business, Eastern time. Liberals ushered in these rules. Conservatives, Joe, can you agree? You and I both have been entirely consistent. That the conservatives out there, libertarians, and some Democrats, too, who still believe in the constitutional republic, believe that victims of sexual harassment or alleged victims are entitled to be heard. Absolutely. Entitled to be respected. And their allegations are to be taken seriously and investigated.
Right.
I'm not going to give you the I have two daughters line because it does. I'm a human being. I don't want to see other people abused. You don't have to be my daughter for me to say to you, that's just not right. If some dude's putting their mitts on you, I've said that before, but I want to get away because that doesn't matter. You know, I'm a human being and you should have empathy for others. There's a woman out there whose guy's putting her mitts all over and it really inappropriately. And that's just not something any conservative supports. The problem is here, we live in a country where people are entitled to due process. The liberals want that rule changed. Two, women are to be believed. Period. The dreaded full stop. That's their rule.
Mm.
You heard Mazie Hirono, senator from Hawaii, liberal Democrat, say it.
Yeah.
Men should shut up. Women are to be believed no matter what. That was the Kavanaugh rule.
Yeah.
That was the Trump rule. Anytime an allegation, women are to be believed. Folks, that is not the conservative rule. The conservative rule is this. Evidence is to be believed. Now, the problem liberals are going to have with Creepy Joe's touching, he's the close talker, dude. He's not, everybody hates the close talker. I can't stand the close talker. If you meet me in public, I will talk to you forever. But I can't stand the close talker, dude. And the close talker, like Joe Biden, that grabs your elbows, don't do it. I'm shooting a double leg takedown on you. I do not want you grabbing my elbows. Nobody's done that. I'm being kind of, no, seriously, I've never had anyone do it. But please don't, it's weird. Just don't, Joe's the, you know the elbow grabber? There is a video out there of him doing this to Hillary. He's getting off a plane. She's in a blue pantsuit and he grabs her with the double elbow and she looks like she would pay anything to get away from this guy. She's like, I can see her like she doesn't know how to do the arm shiver because, the shiv, Joe? We used to have in the Secret Service, they call it the unbendable arm, where you use the unbendable arm to try to push people away.
Mm-hmm.
But she sees the cameras are on. So she's like this. She's trying to create distance. I wish I could stand up. She's like this. All right, I'm going to back away from the microphone. This is where I've never done this before. So she's like this. Right? Here's Creepy Joe, right? So the hips are closed. So she can't get away at the hips because if she leans in at the face, I think she's afraid Joe's going to like plant a wet one on her cheek or something. So she decides she's going to back away the top part, but then you got to lean in the front. So she's like this. And the face is probably, it's like this. And the face, to create more distance, I know you're having a hard time, to create more distance, here's what she does with the face. Because if face on like this, it's nose to nose. She's like. desperately trying to get away from Creepy Joe. She can't get away from this guy quick enough. Hold on, I rolled over my thing. Okay, thank you. Okay, I rolled over my... She can't get away from Creepy Joe quick enough. What? What's not allowed? Paula's inside going, stop moving. I'm messing up the whole video. No, if you see the video, you see it. Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden Joe fails on both the conservative and the liberal test.
Lord, if the conservative... Idiot.
I don't know where he finds this stuff, folks. I have no idea. Joe, I really don't. He fails on both fronts. On the liberal front, if the rule is women are to be believed, period, full stop, no further's needed, then Lucy Flores and others and the two additional women coming out and accusing Joe Biden of creepy touching are to be believed, period. That's Joe, that's their rule, is it not?
Yeah, that's what they said, yeah.
It means Joe Biden's creepy and touches people inappropriately if the liberal rule is true.
Yeah.
So according to liberal standard, number one, Joe Biden's in a lot of trouble and is a creepy toucher and a close talker.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, under the conservative rule, evidence is to be believed. Evidence is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy. The guy's always, he's Captain Hansy. He's always like, hey, let me rub your shoulders. I mean, who smells people's hair? Who does that? I don't even like smell my wife's hair. Like, hey, Paula, let me smell your hair today. Paula, did you not say this to me yesterday? She's like, this hair smelling thing is creepy. Like, it would be, I don't know. I don't get it. Like, what do you smell? What does hair smell like? Aquanet? What are you doing? Hold on. Let me get in there. What do you got in there? You got some crew? I don't know. What do you got?
Your hair smells Aquanet? Like hamburgers. What is that?
Were you in a Five Guys?
Yeah,
you got a slight Chipotle scent to your hair. What is he doing? That's creepy, dude. You don't smell people's. So according to the conservative rule, which is evidence is to be believed, then Joe Biden's creepy too. So, while I don't think it's catastrophic for his campaign if he is to run for president, I think the Ukraine stuff is, on a serious note. I do think it's going to create a lot of problems for him because nobody wants to be the creepy guy. And under the two rules of creepiness, he fails both. He's a hair smeller. That's just freaking weird, dude. That's just weird. Don't be the double elbow grabber and don't be the creepy hair smeller. Just don't do it. There's like, the libs wanted the rules. Just, I got to tell you, one moment I've ever agreed with Nancy Pelosi. Treat everybody like they have a cold. I just got over a cold. You probably heard my voice was a little different yesterday. That's why I'm a little stuffed up today, too. But I feel good. Don't worry. I told you I'd never do a show if I felt bad. Pelosi said it right. You're never going to hear me say that again. Nancy Pelosi said Joe Biden has to treat everybody like they have a cold. Everyone, I'm good. Don't sneeze on me. Obey the 7-foot rule. We learned in a police academy, 21 feet is the safe distance for a sharp-edged weapon attack. That's the Joe Biden rule now. 21 feet away from everyone. Don't shake hands. Don't go near anyone and you'll be okay. Creepy Joe. And no, I don't feel bad for him either, folks. I'm sorry. People out there, I see a lot of these moderate Republicans. Joe's a nice guy. He does a lot of charity work. All right, so do we. So do we. The guy's bragging at a Council of Foreign Relations thing that he got a prosecutor fired in Ukraine who's alleged to be investigating a company's his son's involved. We're supposed to, vote him in for president because he donated to charity? Give me a break, man. We all donate to charity, a lot of us too. You know, it doesn't mean you should be elected president. Right? Crazy. Yeah. All right. Couple of news stories I want to get out there today. One on Obamacare. We used to be heavy on Obamacare in this show, but I got to tell you, I am losing my mind. A lot of Washington Examiner stuff today. Susan Ferriccio has a piece up in the Washington Examiner today about basically how Republicans are steamrolling Trump on Obamacare. I'm sorry, David Drucker. Republicans steamroll Trump on Obamacare. It's up on the YouTube now. You can see the headline. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just outrageous what is going on here. Let me just frame it this way. Obamacare will not work because it can't work. And the problem with Obamacare now and these weak, spineless, gutless Republicans who took our money, our time, who we volunteered for, and are now blocking Trump on any significant Obamacare reform. But Dan, we don't have the House. I don't care. Explain to the American people why Obamacare is a failure. They refuse to do it. They refuse. Therefore, you have to come to shows like this to get information to debate your liberal friends on Obamacare. There are two central core components of Obamacare, which will doom this thing to failure no matter what happens. Obamacare will not work because it can't work because of two things. Regular listeners, you've heard this before. Trump is right. This needs to go. Obamacare is bedrocked in something called community rating and guaranteed issue. Community rating dictates the prices you can charge to older people and younger people on a ratio. Why won't this work? Ladies and gentlemen, because the ratio is wrong. It dictates that you cannot charge older Americans more than 3 times what you charge basically younger Americans. Well, what's the problem there, Dan? The problem is older Americans consume more health care.
Yeah.
At a rate, Joe, of not 3-1, but 5-1.
Woo.
Well, what's the problem with that? The problem with that, and this is why I can't get over these younger people that support Obamacare. You're the ones getting screwed. The problem, folks, is that older Americans who consume more health care are also wealthier than younger Americans. Joe, is this breaking news on the show? Let me ask you a quick question, Joe. Not a trick, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Are you wealthier than your son, who I love to death, Little Joe? Or is Little Joe wealthier than you?
I believe that I'm wealthier than Joe is. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Not a trick.
No
trick. I have a 15-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. I promise you, I have more assets and wealth than she does.
Yeah.
Why is my 15, well, not 15, but she's not in the Obamacare market yet. But you get my point. Yeah. Why are 20-year-olds being forced to subsidize the expenses of older Americans? You cannot charge someone $3. I'll do simple math because liberals have a tough time with this. If Republicans would explain this to younger people, maybe they'd open their eyes. You are charging Americans $3, older, wealthier Americans, for a product that costs $5. Therefore, Joe, what's 5 minus 3, Joe? Not a trick. I know this is tough. Try to work. This is, liberals are listening, so take it slow.
Two.
Thank you. I was going to give you multiple choice. Joe has figured it out. But you have to do this slow because liberals are listening, right? Yeah. 5 minus 3 is 2. Meaning if you're charging older, wealthier Americans $3 for a product that costs $5, mm-hmm. then $2 are missing. Where does that $2 come from? Younger people who are paying $2 more for healthcare they're not even using. And people in the individual market who are being destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, why do you think your premiums and your deductibles under Obamacare are through the roof? Because insurance companies want to piss you off? No, they're through the roof because you're subsidizing older people, their healthcare, despite the fact that they have more assets. Now, if your take is, hey, listen, older Americans, we should pay for their healthcare. Fine. Just be honest about it and stop lying. Run on the truth. Run on the truth. Hey, I'm Bernie Sanders running for president. I believe younger Americans should finance the medical costs of older Americans, even if they have the ability to pay. Fine. I will respect you like I respected Matthew Modine. You are wrong. What you're saying is wrong. It makes no economic sense, but I'll respect your honesty. That is not what they're saying. They keep making pretend like Obamacare is about pre-existing conditions when it's not. States have had protections for that before Obamacare for eons. There are tons of ways to do that. Writing off volunteer care by hospitals and doctors, state laws, COBRA. There are tons of ways to do that without a massive federal program. Stop lying. I didn't forget my place. So point number one, Obamacare is about community rating, charging people $3 for a product that costs $5 and asking younger people to pay the difference. The math doesn't work. Secondly, a key core component of Obamacare is guaranteed issue. Even worse, what does that mean? It means that not only are we charging people $3 for a product that costs $5 and asking younger people to pay the difference, we're telling younger people that are supposed to pay the difference, Joe, that you don't even have to pay until you get sick.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In other words, guaranteed issue means almost any time under Obamacare, younger, anyone, as a matter of fact, can go and get insurance.
That ain't insurance.
Because now there's no individual mandate for not having it. So that's like saying, Joe, I'm going to get a motorcycle, but I don't want to insure it because it costs too much. Even though I'm paying the $2 more for other people's insurance who are using it, supposedly, but I'm not going to get the motorcycle insurance, Joe, until I get in a motorcycle accident. And then, by the way, after the insurance pays my medical bills for the accident, I'm going to cancel said insurance.
There you go.
Folks, you do the math. You're asking younger, healthier people to pay the $2 for a $5 product you're only charging people $3 for, and then you're telling them, don't bother paying it until you get sick too, so you cost us $20 for the $2 you're paying. All right. That is Obamacare in 8 minutes and what, 57 seconds on my timer? That's Obamacare. Community rating and guaranteed issue. Undercharging for a product that is super expensive and then telling the people you want to pay for the undercharged prices for other people, don't worry, don't pay till you get sick either. Therefore, you'll cost us a fortune too. That's Obamacare. Trump is right again. Republican frauds are wrong. If you would just explain this to the American people, it would make sense. That is it. Look it up. Community rating, guaranteed issue. It's a fraud. Just be honest. All right, folks, thanks again for tuning in. I really appreciate it. You all are awesome. Our audience this week has gone crazy. Yeah. I have two simple requests for you, please, if you don't mind. Please share our content, if you wouldn't mind, our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Bongino. And if you wouldn't mind subscribing to the audio podcast, it's available on iTunes. If you have an Android device, it's available on iHeart. It's available on SoundCloud. It is all free, but the subscriptions, clicking that subscribe button is what moves up, us up the charts. We were number 5. Last week. That is crazy. 5. We were on the top charts, considering there's like a million show podcasts out there, maybe more. Who knows? So thank you very much, folks. It means a lot. I'll see you all tomorrow.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show. You can also get Dan's podcasts on iTunes or SoundCloud and follow Dan on Twitter 24/7 at DBongino.